This is Kerrang Radio. I'm Louise Maloney, and I'm joined in the studio by Richard Armitage. Richard, pleasure to meet you.
Hey, Louise, how are you doing?
I'm really good, thank you. We're here to talk about The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Am I pronouncing that right?
You were kind of, yeah, Smaug.
Smaug.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think our listeners would want to know that.
Yeah, like. I think it, without sounding too intellectual, it comes from a German word.
Okay.
Smugen, which means to squeeze through a small hole, but it's
interesting.
Smaug.
Okay, Smaug. Okay, it's the second, obviously, in the trilogy of the Hobbit movies. I want to talk to you about Thorin. I kind of felt like we saw a little bit more of an emotional side in this film. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yay! Some people sit down and say, "Well, so what's it like to play a jerk?" I'm glad that you see an emotional side.
Well, I think in comparison to the first,
yeah,
I think it's a little bit more of an emotional side.
Yeah, I think. He's a bit more invested in his, you know, his fellow dwarves. And I think he's really starting to open up to Bilbo and trust him. And I guess it makes him feel a little bit more vulnerable. And I don't want to say human because he's a dwarf, but you know what I mean? So, yeah. And we see him at a very high point in his life and a very low point when he gets thrown into the elven prisons. It's sort of the end of the road for him. And then when he opens the door to the mountain and he finally enters, it's all his Christmases come at once. So you see him kind of in that, you know, rather joyous state.
Mm. The scene with the dwarves and the barrels was definitely a highlight for me. Was it a challenge filming that, or, you know, how was it for you?
It was broken into so many pieces. And I have to say, of the whole shoot, I don't think there was a single moment when it wasn't fun, which is very unusual. So we were on the Pelorus River in free-floating barrels. We were in what can only be described as a fairground ride in a studio on a water course, like a log flume powered by V8 engines, with water being dumped on us. And we worked in that for about 2 weeks. And yeah, you leapt out of bed every morning to go and play in this incredible playground. And then we were in single barrels on wheels for the close-up shots of all the fighting. And so, yeah, highly enjoyable at every step of the way.
Not at the end of it, you weren't like, "I'm done with this. I'm done with having water all over me."
There was a couple of days when I think, you know, you got out and it's like you've been in a bath for a week and your skin was very wrinkly. But no, it was the best. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I think we can call him a kind of director legend now. How was it working with Peter Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, he is a bit of a legend to me, but he's a sort of wacky, crazy little childlike thing who has an amazing vision and a mind that is infinite and fascinating, and you can never imagine the kind of things that he works out in his mind the night before you shoot. So you come to set and you're always surprised and excited by what he's gonna, you know, to do with a scene. I mean, I think Tolkien wrote, "And the dwarves escape in barrels," and that's what he's created from that one line. So yeah, he's amazing.
What a grown-up child he must be. Like a child, basically, in a man's body.
Yeah. I mean, they're all like it, though. I mean, Richard Taylor's the same at Weta. He does all the kind of creature designs. And, yeah, they all work on that same level. I don't know. It's everything that you want to be as an adult is just to be playing all the time.
It's cool, man, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sitting opposite you. You're clearly not 5 foot tall and not as hairy as you were in the film. How was makeup every day?
It was 3 hours in the chair every morning for some of us. I guess I sort of used the 3 hours every day to somehow get my head into Thorin, and I just got used to it. And it was always interesting seeing him slowly arrive, slowly. but after 270 times, I think I was glad to see the back of a pot of glue. But I couldn't play the role without it. You know, sometimes we'd go to set and we'd be asked to rehearse not in costume, and I just couldn't do him. So, yeah, I was kind of grateful for it.
That's interesting, actually, that you just couldn't get into it unless you were dressed as him.
Yeah, it was something to do with the shape of the body, the size of the shoulders. I mean, that hair had sort of had some kind of impact on my headspace, literally. So, yeah, it's weird when you kind of walk in and for some reason you feel tall and light. And with all the gear on, I suddenly was heavier and you know, more into him.
This is Kerrang Radio.
This is Kerrang Radio. I'm Louise Maloney. Richard Armitage is still in the studio with me, and we're discussing The Hobbit, part two, we're going to call it this time. I wanted to chat with you about the movie being filmed. Was it like stepping on set on the first day, almost like stepping into another world? Because obviously, you know what it's going to be like, but when you step on that set that Peter Jackson's created, it must be just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, my first day on set was in Bag End, and the other dwarves had been working for about a week, so I was last to arrive, really, as Thorin is at the front door. And I very clearly remember the scene where we opened the door and I sort of came face to face with Gandalf, and it took me a sentence that you just said there,
like, amazing.
Well, it was, and I would look at Ian and think, am I in Lord of the Rings? No, that's Gandalf, no. And that's Ian McKellen, and that's the wizard, and kind of all crazy thoughts. I mean, it took me a while to really just get into the headspace of Thorin, because Richard was sort of starstruck by having the door opened to Gandalf. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great world to step into, I have to say. It stimulates your imagination like no other.
Amazing. If you could play any other character in this film, what would it be? Or who would it be, should I say?
It's interesting, because that question has come up a bit, and actually, I think I'd like to play Smaug.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I really admire what Benedict's done, and it's a different... I'm answering a different question, because I would literally like to get into a dragon costume and crawl around and pretend to be a dragon.
Hey, who wouldn't?
Yeah, and to sort of fly around on some wires. I think that's a different movie. I think maybe it's not even a movie, it's a home movie.
Fantasy. But
he's fascinating, that creature.
Apart from Thorin, who's your favourite dwarf?
From Thorin's perspective, I think it's Dwalin. He's just a buddy. He's, you know... They play ping pong together.
Okay, that's enough said.
That's enough.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a mate. And finally, the film ends and so much is about to happen. And as a Hobbit fan, it's just so frustrating, because you feel like you're on the cusp of something. Can you give me a little bit of a snippet of what's going to happen next? Or does Peter Jackson just absolutely hold that script close to his chest?
Well, we do know, because we've shot everything.
Brilliant. Come on, bring it on.
I am amazed at the tease that Pete's done at the end of the film to cut the film where he does mid-flight. I was as shocked as the audience were in the movie house, that gasped and shouted, no. I have no idea where he's going to pick up the third film. I would be very surprised if the film starts with the dragon flying. I think it's going to be another little trick up his sleeve to sort of tease us into movie three.
What a cliffhanger.
What a cliffhanger, literally.
Mm. Richard, thank you so much for joining me in the studio. The Hobbit, I'm going to try this again. The Desolation of Smaug.
Perfect.
Yes. It's out in cinemas this Friday, the 13th. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Louise. Kerrang! Radio.